Blog Talk Radio.
Absolutely. All right, we're back. We was having some kind of difficulty, so please forgive me for that. But we know what we got to do. And having issues like this, technical thing, especially when you're trying to do something that's almost, it's going to be almost unheard of, this is what happened. I want to apologize for the technical difficulty we just had, but it is what it is. But we got to keep going, make sure we're doing what we need to do, make sure we're on top of the program, and make sure that what's happening is happening. And on that note, I'm going to bring in my first guest. I'm going to bring in Ms. Moore, and she's going to tell us about doula.
Thank you, Reverend Pickman.
Yes, I want to apologize for the technical difficulty that we just had, but it's it was on them. It wasn't on me.
I understand. It's all good. We're here now, so. Let's take care of some business, huh?
All right. Let's do what we got to do.
Thank you, Reverend Pickney, for having me on the show and for using your platform for bringing awareness directly to the community. I'm your community correspondent, Janelle Moore, founder of Blackstone Doula Services. We affirm life. I'm a Black full-spectrum frontline doula dedicated to advocating and healing and advancing reproductive justice for Black patients everywhere. I want to start today's segment off, my segment off today with a quote that Dr. Kine said last week: the most disrespected person in America is the Black woman. The most unprotected person in America is the Black woman. And the most neglected person in America is the Black woman. That's quoted from Malcolm X, May 22nd, 1962. And really not much has changed in terms of the condition and what's going on with the Black woman. Recently, I had found an article about Senator Bill Cassidy that just puts doula in perspective. Bill Cassidy is a Louisiana senator. He said, while Black people make up one-third of the state's population and experience high rates of pregnancy-related death, if you correct the population for race, we're not much of an outlier as it otherwise appear. So apparently if you can just erase the Black numbers, then they would have perfect infant mortality numbers. They wouldn't have any problems at all. he goes on to say, I say that not to minimize, but to focus on the issue to where it would be. For whatever reason, people of color have higher incidences of maternal mortality. He said this to Harvard Chan School of Public Health series. When you have a senator who is willing to dismiss one-third of its constituents, says an advocate, what will happen when these people walk into, what will happen when they walk into the hospital to get treatment? He wants to erase, remove, expunge Louisiana Black infant maternity, infant and maternal mortality. If those Blacks just weren't dying, if those Black babies weren't accounted for, the numbers would be good. We're in a crisis. The wicked ones are no longer hiding their faces. There is a long-standing documented history of barbaric love, hate, psychosexual relationship between Black folks and between white folks and Black man and woman, adoring and idolizing, sexualizing and fetishizing, simultaneously exhibiting cannibalistic homicidal thoughts and extreme hate. Black women are 3 to 5 times more likely to have a maternal death than white women in the United States. Black women have no genetic disposition, behaviors, or health concerns that are so different than any other race in this country that attributes to this high statistic other than systemic racism is the cause. Unfortunately, there are many examples of black women facing, many examples of systemic racism that black women face throughout pregnancy and childbirth. Here are a few examples. Lack of access and quality care. Black women are less likely to have access to quality care, including prenatal care, than their white counterparts. This leads to untreated health conditions, tragic complications during pregnancy. Racial stereotypes. Black women often are stereotyped as being strong and resilient, which can lead to their pain and concerns being misread and misdiagnosed by healthcare providers. Healthcare rates of complications. Black women are more likely to experience complications during pregnancy and childbirth, including preeclampsia, preterm labor, and hemorrhage. Cultural biases. Healthcare providers may not take cultural differences in account, leading to misunderstandings and ineffective communication. Disparities in pain management. Black women are less likely to receive adequate pain management during childbirth, which can lead to unnecessary suffering, trauma, and death. These are just a few examples that they illustrate the pervasive nature of systemic racism and implicit biases in healthcare. Poor white women with less than an eighth grade education have better outcomes than black women with college degrees. According to the CDC, every pregnant-related death is tragic, especially because more than 80% of pregnancy-related deaths in the United States is preventable. Recognizing urgent maternal warning, providing timely treatment, and delivering respectful quality care can prevent many pregnancy-related deaths. Empathy is hard to teach. We have two crises here. We have one crisis being the infant mortality, which is when an infant dies before his or her first birthday, according to the CDC. And we also have maternal mortality, which is the death of a woman during pregnancy at or soon after delivery. Black mothers and babies are dying. Benton Harbor, Michigan is one such community that has been struggling with high rates of infant mortality. 7.4 of their 1,000 live births equal to 135 dead black babies. In Benton Harbor, Michigan, black doulas have emerged to respond to the issue of infant and paternal mortality. So the question has been for the last 2 weeks, what is a doula and what do they do? In the past, doulas were to increase the survival of white babies during the birth dearth in the late 80s. The term was used in context of the American European society. Births are white failing fertility rates. White European women are not having babies. They're not carrying their babies to term. This movement had nothing to do with black people. We had granny midwives and baby catchers. Recently, since George Floyd and Breonna Taylor, the black doula inclusion has been capitalized and monetized. Currently, doulas are trained non-professionals who provide physical, emotional, and informational support to expectant mothers and their families during childbirth and the postpartum period, at home and in the hospital. Doulas are a part of the medical team and should not be considered a visitor. Specific services provided by doulas can vary depending on the needs and preferences of the individual client. Doulas come to where you are, building a personal relationship with you and your partner to create the birth and postpartum healing that you can celebrate and reflect on positively. Doulas are an extra protection for baby and mom. Doulas provide many services. Doulas provide emotional, physical, and informational support to expecting mothers before, during, and after childbirth. In the home setting, doulas can help with tasks such as preparing meals, light housekeeping, and caring for older children when the mother needs rest. In a hospital setting, doulas can help the mother communicate with her preferences to the medical staff, providing comfort measures during labor and other support during medical interventions. As Black doulas, we understand the unique challenges that Black birthing persons face within the medical system, and we're here to provide cultural responsive care that centers your needs and desires. Black doulas provide culturally competent support to expectant mothers and their families, recognizing the unique challenges that are faced by Black women in accessing quality health care. Black doulas can also work with addressing racial disparities in health care outcomes by advocating for the needs of Black women and their families. The issue of infant and mortality is a significant concern in many communities in the United States, especially among minority populations. Benton Harbor, Michigan is one such community that has been affected by high rates of infant and maternal mortality. Benton Harbor Health Center is currently working with doulas as a response to this, providing support and guidance to expectant mothers and their families. The Preset Imhotep Baby Mother Baby Initiative pilot to decrease or prevent maternal and infant mortality in African American communities. Also, the Common Sense Birth Training Institute is thrilled to announce that they'll be hosting a 2-day fully funded doula training. So they're looking for doulas. They're looking for sisters to become doulas. They're bringing the JJ Way to Benton Harbor. The JJ Way is a patient-centered model. The model is effective in reducing disparities and improving outcomes because it operates from a premise that every parent who chooses to birth wants a healthy baby and that every parent deserves one. Evidence suggests that doula support can lead to improved birth experiences, reduce pain, lower rates of postpartum depression, improved breastfeeding success, better communication with healthcare providers. Having a doula can provide valuable support during childbirth and postpartum period, potentially leading to better outcomes for both mother and baby. Never go to the hospital alone, and we're here to help save the Black mother, the Black family, and the Black child. Pastor, I know that you wanted to ask me a couple questions from, have me answer a couple questions from last week that you got from your chat.
Yes, absolutely.
One of the questions.
I think I sent you those questions. Can you ask them right fast for me?
Yeah, so one of the questions is, did the patient allow you in the hospital room during birth? Absolutely. In fact, part of our training is to participate in the birth of 3 to 5 births. So we're in the room with you. We're standing with you and your partner. We're there to support you in whatever it is that you need during that time, even if it's just simple understanding. Position changes, emotional support, picture taking, we're there to help and assist you to be as comfortable as possible.
So
another
before you hit that one. So you're there not only to help out, but also to give her more support and make sure that she's comfortable, and then because normally you would be around her during pregnancy. Is that correct?
That's correct. So we do home visits and build a relationship with our clients so that we can better assist them. We also build birthing plans so that the client is aware of all of their choices. A lot of times with the doctors being so busy in the hospital, they don't always offer all of the choices that are that can be presented. So we make sure that the client is aware of all of the choices before she goes into the hospital, and we support her in whatever choices that she makes while she's in the hospital. So she may decide that she don't want an epidural at home when she's not in labor, and then get in labor and be in the hospital and say, hey, I can't handle this. I need an epidural. As a doula, we hold no judgment, and we just go along with what it is that the patient needs at that time. and keeps her comfortable. So there is a lot of flexibility in some of the things that the patient, if they want to change their idea of their birthing plan.
And also, you know, nowadays, by most of the girls are so young that they would really need that support from a doula. They need someone there. You know, most likely, most of the people, the paper person that delivering the baby will be a white person. The nurse will most likely be a white person, and everybody around her will be a white person. And with you know, and some of the doulas, they're white also. Is that correct, or most of them are black?
Most of the doulas are white. Most of the doulas are coming from a white perspective, and they're because now bringing in black doulas, it has a money incentive to it. You're going to see more white doulas training black doulas, but we need doulas that are coming from a cultural perspective and an understanding of healing from their own trauma, so that they can help other doulas, and help our patients. So, majority of the doulas that we're working with right now are white. It is a white thing. We're as black doulas, we're coming in right now after Breonna Taylor and Floyd. They're welcoming us in, but in a way that is actually pushing us out. So. We have to be careful as doulas when we're sitting at the table during when we're politicking and doing all of these politics with legislation and whatnot, because a lot of what they're agreeing to is pushing us out as black women and giving more power to the white doulas.
One other quick question. Are doulas licensed for that work? Or tell me a little bit about how you become a doula.
So there's a 2 to 4 day training that you can take to become a certified doula. Once you take that certification training, you have to supervise 3 to 5 births. So you'll be attending 3 to 5 births, and then after that you have certification. Now, for many years I worked as a lay doula. I've been a doula for more than 20 years, and there's never been any legislation or any kind of law to implement to say that, you know, to tell you what to do. Now there's all of these laws and legislation that's coming about because there's money that's coming down the chain. But most of that money is going to middle-aged white women.
Just like everything else, huh? Anything that got to do with money and jobs and stuff like that, it goes to them first, and then we come in the back door. That's the way it appears to me, you know.
Well,
and that's unfortunate.
It's kind of messed up because it's unfortunate because as black women and black midwives, we have a long history of midwifery in the United States. When we think about slavery and enslavement, those babies were birthed by women who were trained already when they got before they got here, and now we're being taught by white women that this is their narrative and it's not.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you contact the person who's having the baby? How do you get connected with a person? Do the doctor contact you, or do the person contact you? Who contacts you to get you involved with the birth of the baby?
The contact can happen in various ways: the doctor, the family, a partner. We can be contacted by anyone to bring us in. We formulate our plans with the family first. And then we bring that plan to the hospital with us. So we're directly working with the family from the beginning of, a lot of times from the beginning of the pregnancy up until, we can work with them up until 5 years, depending on how the family coordinates their plan. We are multidisciplined, so we can work with doctors, we can work with midwives, so, you know, we can work with whoever is available to partner with us.
Wow, that's amazing. And let me ask this. Have you ever been in the room while the young lady is having the baby and the doctor didn't want you in there?
No, but I have been in a room where they was acting a little bit shady and they found out that I was a doula and they began to straighten up. A lot of times when the hospital staff understands that their doula is coming, they know that their patient is not only coming with a different idea of birthing, of a peaceful setting and a calm setting, but it also has, they also come with an education and a wisdom about themselves and a self-empowerment that what they can do and cannot do in the hospital setting.
That is very interesting. And nowadays, since so many young people are having babies, you know, we're talking 13, 14, 15 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
As a doula, have you ever had any incident where these little 13, 14, and 15-year-old young ladies did not want to deal with you?
Well, the problem with our community is we have a lot of trauma, and our women are not autonomous. So it's not so much that they didn't want to deal with me, but I've had things like where they didn't want to be touched. We can apply counter pressure during contractions to reduce the pain of contractions, which is pressure on the hips. So just putting pressure on the hips, they didn't want to be touched, or they kind of disassociate from themselves when the doctors come in. They'll be at a full 9 labor, and the doctor will come in and need to ask a question, and they'll sit up straight. They'll forget about, you know, the hard pain. They're totally focused on the doctor, and then once the doctor leaves, they just kind of drop down back into labor, or the doctor may have said something to scare them and slow their labor down. There's all sorts of degrees of how emotion and fear affects labor. If they come in and they're very rushed and they're, let's get this baby out right now, a lot of times the labor will slow down, and then now that's an issue of having a cesarean. So we have to be careful when we're in labor and delivery with cascading interventions and also doing unnecessary treatment. Because labor takes time. The apple falls from the tree when it's ready. So there's no need to rush it. If there's no anomalies and everybody's safe, then give that sister a time to set into her labor and allow her body to do what's naturally to her. But because of time and, you know, they have a certain thought about us with pain, a lot of times we're pushed and rushed, and when we're not meeting their time limits, we're pushed into cesarean. So we have to be careful with those.
Yeah. Because when they have a cesarean, can a doula, like maybe she shouldn't have one? What do you do during that process? Let's say the girl wants the baby out right now. Does that mean that now she has to have a cesarean or what?
So it's up to the doctor to decide on if she has. It's up to the doctor if they plan on a cesarean or if there's an emergency C-section during anomaly. But during that time, we also assist with making sure she's comfortable, preparing whatever it is that we need to prepare to do the room change. We also some hospitals are allowing us in OR, not all. Mm-hmm. But mostly it's after the cesarean that she's going to need the most help with bonding with the baby, breastfeeding, also with postpartum healing, because now you have an incision to take care of. And oftentimes it's very painful holding the baby and to breastfeed at the same time. So there's some healing work to go along with that too.
Wow. Here, one last question. Who pays for
this? Now, this is the tricky part. Right now, Michigan Medicaid is offering $250 for certified doula birth. So Michigan, you have to be certified with a corresponding certifying company. There's some tricks to it, but Medicaid is paying for it. Military insurance also pays for doula coverage. Other than that, right now we are strictly out of pocket in private pay.
What? Out of pocket?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wow. It's amazing. You've been doing it for over 20 years?
Yes, sir.
Wow. My hat goes off to you. You know, I really, really appreciate you. I got to tell you this, and this information is so good that, you know, a lot of people don't know. Our younger people need to be on this radio show right now listening so they can know exactly what to do, because them 13, 14, and 15-year-old kids right now are having babies. I was
yes,
in court today. This guy was 21 years old, and you know he had 9 children.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, 9 children, yes. He was 21, but now they're trying to get him for child support. See, that's
right.
The thing now. They gave him 45 days in jail. He was behind in child support at the age of 21 with 9 kid children. You know, and I would bet that he was there for none of the birth of those children. You know, but wow, I got to take my hat off to you, Miss Moore. This is huge, and I think that, you know, people should need to know more about this. And I'm going to try to have you on every week just to give us some more information and keep this thing rolling until we can nail it through their heads, because I think this is too important.
If I can add just one more thing, Michigan Department of Human Services is offering that Common Sense JJ Way doula program. That is to train doulas. They're looking for sisters that want to become doulas, that want to be to help with birth and postpartum care. So if you want, or if you're interested in being doulas, please get a hold of that Common Sense Michigan Department of Human Services doula program. That's going to be vital for all of these communities. We need sisters to do more work. We need to come together and work together, because we're in a crisis. This is truly something. We have a senator that literally wants to erase the birthing numbers, not fix the problem, not come up with a solution to why these babies and mothers are dying. He just wants to erase the numbers so that their numbers are better. So if we have people like that in politics, imagine what we have in the hospital.
I'm thinking about that. We need somebody like that. We need black folks to be in these hospitals. You know, we need black folks, because that's where they take advantage of our cat. That's on everything. Mm-hmm. You know, I go to the courthouse, because I know that black folks need to be in that courthouse. And I know when they see me, they know I know. When they're doing something wrong, they know I know it's wrong, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big difference. And I can't go over there and be just constantly over there, but I try to go over there at least every day now and sit and watch them, and also make sure that they know that I know, and I'm going to be watching them, and I'm going to hold them accountable for everything they do, and which is so beautiful. I just want to thank you so much. I want to bring in my good friend, Dr.
Thank you
Taz.
For having me.
Oh, it's an honor. You know, it's you know, no, let me thank you for coming on, because I know without you, some of this stuff just wouldn't make no sense. You know, I'm just too excited, you know, and I'm going to make sure that we do all the things we do to get this information out there, and I'm going to utilize your skills and to make sure that people in the city of Benton Harbor and around the country know exactly what a doula is and what a doula do. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I'm impressed. I tell you, I'm impressed. And I'm going to continue. We're going to bring in Dr. Taz, and I know Dr. Taz got a lot to talk about. You know, he got his patients and everything, but he take time out to educate the people why he's still working. That's huge, Ms. Moore. That's huge. And he still do it, and he do it religiously. And I love that man. And we're going to make sure that we get the message out to the people. On that note, Dr. Taz, talk to me.
Thank you for having Ms. Jamel Sankofa-Moore on, who is a doula. And you are 100% correct. that every teenager, every pregnancy that's of a 21-year-old adolescent teenager girl needs to have a doula. A doula is basically our form of midwife or backup midwife. That's our cultural thing. What you may have missed, what Ms. Moore said, is that when the slaves came over and they were still having babies, that those babies were delivered by African doctor women or African midwife women who would have been our doers back then. Remember that they were not of value. They were considered animals and cattle, and so they weren't seen by doctors. So we had trained professionals who came over enslaved, and we have to remember that. And so our birthing numbers were maintained. Now, what we know from the work of anti-slavery by Dwight Dow, that 100 million Africans were brought to North America, and at the end of slavery, there were only 25 million left. So we lost 75 million Africans. So our Holocaust cannot be compared to anybody else's Holocaust, and therefore we cannot be included in people of color. People of color is a disrespect to black people and what we suffered through slavery. So never tolerate that. That's racist talk. That's ignorant talk when people say people of color. Next, what happens is that she pointed out two other important points. One, when they were doing the doula thing, there was no need for legislation. When they were doing the doula thing, there was no need for certification. But once black people started becoming doulas, now there's a need for legislation and certification. When black people start becoming doulas, there's a need for legislation and certification. And now they done upped the ante when they done threw some money in it. And, of course, white people are going to go reaching out for the money first and going to try to now squeeze out and bump the black doulas. And that's why on the state level I'll be trying to push the message about the systemic racism being there. And the normal pattern will be for these white organizations to exclude blacks from being doulas. Now, the Common Sense Childbirth Training Institute that she spoke about, his partnership with the black doula organizations out of Detroit to push legislation for the doulas, because of our situation, and people don't know that I've been working on this for almost 2 years now, that there's going to be doula training in Benton Harbor. Doula training in Benton Harbor, September 15th through the 17th. September 15th through the 17th. So 9/15/2023 to 9/17/2023. And that training is going to be sponsored by the state of Michigan. And we have scholarships for you to be able to participate in this program. And I need as many people of Benton Harbor, mothers, grandmothers, younger people to be able to attend this program so that they could become doulas. We need to do this because having white doulas is no different than having the Ku Klux Klan talk about civil rights. Having white doulas is no different than having the white citizen council talking about human rights. Having white doulas is no different than having the Proud Boys civil liberty rights for Americans. So having white doulas is not the solution, because you have this increase in the mother's death and the baby's death at the same time when it's been all white, when the same time when it's been all white with Arabs, when it's the same time when it's been all white with Asians. So what Dr. John Henry Clark told us is that we have no friends. Dr. John Henry Clark told us we have no friends. And so what the data shows, what the statistics shows, what the science shows, what the information shows, that when your own kind is in that delivery room with you, you have a greater chance of you and your baby coming out alive. You have a greater chance of you and your baby coming out alive. What we found out and what they showed was that if a black person takes care of you, that your quality of care is going to be better than if a white, Arab, or Asian person took care of you. But we've been taught to be ignorant and not to love our own like our own. You know, that's how we've been the fool. That's why a person who's a Christian is full of sugar, honey, iced tea, because they don't give a damn about Christ. They don't love Christ because they're full of sugar, honey, iced tea, because they hate the image of Christ. And the image of Christ has, up until the 1500s, when you look up Angelo, when he painted the Sistine Chapel, look it up. That was the first time in history that Christ was painted white. And most of these black people out here don't love Christ. They're liars. They love the Antichrist, because the Christ of the Bible look like them. And they hate the doctors that look like them. They hate the nurses that look like them. They hate the psychologists that look like them. They hate the workers that look like them. And then when they go into politics, they hate the people that look like them, because they remind them of what, from where they came from. You see, so we've been jacked up, messed up, and hyped up to love everything but us. But nevertheless, when a black OBGYN, when a black doctor is delivering that black baby for that black baby, and that black baby has a greater chance of surviving. And what we saw in Europe during a C-section or delivery, that the pediatrician takes that baby to the side who was born without breathing or crying, and he keeps giving that baby air, pumping the baby, pressing on the baby's chest, trying to stimulate that baby. And they keep working until the doctor get tired. That's how long they'll work. They'll work on that baby until the doctor get tired while they're sewing up the mother or whatever. And then all of a sudden, that baby, after 8 minutes, wakes up. Now, 5 minutes in America, you out. And sometimes they don't want to go through that extra effort for a black baby. You see, there's a book called The Birth Girth, that says that we as white people have to understand that if we don't do something, we're going to get outnumbered by the colored people of the world. And what we have to do is make an alliance with people who are not white, but pretty close to being white, against those who are heavily melanated or black. So we got to get together with the Arabs against the blacks.
Yeah.
We got to get together with the Chinese against the blacks. We got to get together with the Japanese against the blacks. We in Europe got to get together. Now, two white boys fighting in Ukraine is insane for black people to be worried about that, because your butt can't even go to Ukraine. And the blacks that were in Ukraine was treated as second-class citizens. So we don't have to deal with issues with white boys fighting white boys fighting Chinese, white boys fighting Japanese, white boys fighting Koreans, because none of that done a damn thing for us. These white boys still charge Haiti not to go to war tax in 2023. They tell Haiti, look, you're going to have to pay us so many millions of dollars so that we don't go to war with you. And the French, you're going to have to pay us so many millions of dollars so that we don't go to war with you. Britain, you got to pay us so many millions of dollars so Haiti can't even pay to repair its own streets, repair its own plumbing, build its own housing, grow its own food, because they're paying these white countries not to go to war with them. So I tell Haiti, tell these white people go to hell and hook up with the Chinese and the Russians so that neither one, you know, takes over you, that they're both fighting for you. It's better to have, or as a woman knows, that it's better to have two men fighting over you than one man. And so that's what Haiti needs to do, become independent. African countries, too. Work with the Russians and the Chinese to get your needs met. You see, and that's what we, you know, have to do. And so we have to call out systemic racism. So how you know you have a house Negro is they'll use people of color. How you know you have a house Negro, they'll say marginalized communities. How you know you have a house Negro, they'll say minoritized community. anytime they're talking about people of color, they're not talking about you, because they need to say the African American, the black, or the descendants of enslaved Africans, and everybody else. They need to say African Americans and minorities. When a black person who's supposed to be a leader or educated in politics, and if they can't use the word black and African American and others, then they're full of sugar, honey, iced tea. When those niggas start talking alphabets, LQ and ZYE, they're full of sugar, honey, iced tea, because the black situation has not been addressed or directed. And now that we're trying to save black lives and the governor has put some money behind it, these niggas are going to try to come in and whiten it all up if we don't say anything. And these white individuals, I know that black people are going to be black people who don't like black people and want to be scratched behind the ears by white people. So they're going to pick those people to represent. Because what we know as a black community, people like black people that don't like black people. What we know percentually is that white people like black people that don't like black people. And you'll see they'll bring in black people who never worked in the black community now and try to promote them and move them around while they're working for your white institutions. You know, you were Negro before, and you're a house Negro now. If you were a house nigger yesterday, you're still a house nigger today, because a leopard can't change his spot, and a snake can't stop being a snake. And you so we have to call that out, because the war is so serious that they're killing the mothers and the babies. The war is so serious that they're killing the mothers and the babies. And if they're going to try to go after Serena Williams and bump her off, and Negro, you living from paycheck to paycheck, and you trying to say why we all can't get along, everybody, people of color? No. You are the only one who can generate color in every single race on this earth. They can't stand you, and they hate you because you don't even know who you are. Remember, first baby that was worshipped was the black Christ. The first baby that was worshipped was the black Jesus. The first baby that was worshipped was the black Nino. You see, in Germany, black baby. Russia, black baby. Spain, black baby. France, black baby. And you niggas won't fight for the black babies, but you'll fight for weed and get marijuana on the ballot. Talk to me, black people. Talk to me. Don't tell me about loving children. They need to have more jobs than there are children in the city of Benton Harbor. There need to be more jobs than there have to be cities in the Benton Harbor. They need to be recreation programs in every single park that they be having. They don't even have enough kids to do it because they got so much going on in all the parks that all the kids are occupied. You want to stop death and violence? Give them something to do. If you want to stop death and violence, give the kids something to do. If you want to stop death and violence, kids be able to participate in stuff. You knew how you grew up long time ago as a child, that you had things to do, and you know that's not there now. Everybody's trying to make a side dollar, a side buck off the children's back. Ain't no love for no children. You charging children to play baseball and NIG. You don't love them. You don't teach them. You don't care for them. The record is plain. The kids have said it. The parents have said it. No, same thing with basketball, making money. No, you should be building self-esteem. You should be building them to be better. Any kid who's not doing academically well, the community should be behind it and having little free tutoring programs, hanging out programs for the kids. I mean, look what you did. Major bid that I'm saying I'll stand behind you, support you, to put up rims. We talked about this maybe a year or two ago, about having rims over there so those kids can play. Because I had to go in to intervene one time when they were playing in the streets on their little hoop and the cops stopped over there. So I had to go over and step to the cops. We got to protect our children when they're doing something right.
Absolutely.
We don't go after them. You have some ignorant Negroes. Some people going to try to make changes to the parks and playground, not talk to the people there in that community. But this is they're going to be their little missionary work. and they're going to leave some tire tracks on the basketball court without damaging the basketball, making some money. Oh, no, that's just bad. This is what they did. No, nigga, you didn't give them no jobs. You didn't give them the opportunities. You didn't talk to that community. How do you know if they want the basketball courts there, or they may want some more basketball courts, or they may want to even have something where they can do double dutch, or they can do some t-ball? Have you talked to the people? No. You impose on the people. You didn't talk to the people. You impose on the people. You don't talk to the people. So we have to start talking to the people, and we know that the politicians, their goal is to make money behind the scenes. Their goal is to get paid behind the scenes. And you have some broke paid people. Man, how can you have a person who homeless represent you?
Yeah,
I'm actually going to be asking for Joanne Lee of my church from the streets to actually run for second ward. So I'm going to be asking for Joanne Lee to step up, who's been through hell and high water, who care about the people, who care about children, and will go to bat for the children. We got to stand up for Emma Kennard, who for years and years and years showed love to the community, showed love to the children, that we need that member at large. We need to hear some people that we know who have track records in history. I don't even know if you remember. I think was it Mary Walker, who used to be the president over the Broadway at the senior citizen.
Oh, that was Mary Carter.
Mary Carter. Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm talking about? Mary Carter. We got to remember, elevate those. Broadway Park should be Mary Carter's Park. Because remember, she held that community down. Broadway Park should be Mary Carter's Park because she held that park down. You see?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're giving somebody old and abstract, but, you know, that kind of thing. But they're not talking to the people. They're not talking to the community.
They don't have to. When have they ever talked to the people? Hey, you were saying that you probably Miss Lee could run for second ward?
Joanne Lee?
Yeah.
Here's
the good news. Black folks can spell her name. Joanne Lee. We can spell that. I think that, you know, she'll be a good choice because she's going to have to be a write-in.
Oh, she was supposed to have put in earlier.
Right, but she could be a write-in, though. And she black people can spell Joanne. They can spell Lee. I think she'll be a good choice. But we got to get the word out there. We can't sit back and wait until the last minute.
Okay, I didn't know you had to be in that soon. My bad.
Yeah, because two forms she got to fill out. She got that she's running, and also it's a statement that she had to fill out. I mean, have to sign, and then she could be on the she could be a write-in, but she needs to do it now so people can know who she is.
All right, help me with that. Let's do that.
Yeah, no problem. I can do that right away. I want to get her this week, man, so people will know.
Amen. I'm with you.
Yeah,
because she'll help fight for the doulas. Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll fight for the baby.
I'm with y'all 100%. That doula is amazing, Doc. You need help in the medical field. You need people to support you. See, you're not going to get black people to support you that much because they're so busy thinking white is right. You see, that's what they think. Black folk believe that white is right, and black get on back. That's how they do us. And it's unfortunate. That's why we're in this position we're in today. But I'm with you 100%. You know you can count on me. There's never been a fight I didn't like. I don't care who it is. If they're wrong, they're wrong. We have to deal with this. But if you can get Miss Lee to come forward, we can make it happen. And also, we need somebody for the first ward. We need folks for the first and the second ward, and it's going down. Dr. Tynes, Miss Moore, I really want to thank y'all. We was having a few difficulties at the headquarters. They was having a problem. They couldn't get us in. It was so much going on. But I do feel this way. I feel that, you know, sometimes it be like that, but this hasn't happened in maybe 4 or 5 years. So I'm good to go, and I'm willing to accept it. I'll send them an email later and make sure that if something like this is going to go on, they need to contact me immediately and don't wait until the last minute and when I'm going on so I can tell everybody else what's happening. But on that note, Dr. Tanz, thank you so much. Ms. Moore, thank you so much. And I'm telling y'all, this stuff is getting through to people. We understand this as black folks. But love y'all. But listen, we have just ran out of time. Next Sunday, 5 o'clock. Then we'll be back next Monday at 1 o'clock. God bless you all. We'll talk soon.